Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Once again, we are on the radio station. We're thanking God for this valuable time that God has given us in the earth realm. Today is a day that we just call upon the name of the Lord and just thank him for everything he's done for us, how he's caused us to rise and not fall. We pray for the peace of America, for the entire planet. We pray for Israel. We pray Psalm 122, verse 6, Father. I want to thank you this night for everything that you have done. I praise you and I love you. I adore you and I magnify your name. Today is the day that I just say, I love you because you are who you say you are. Thank you for being here for the entire. I pray for my wife, my son and daughter, my daughter-in-law, my grandson, my brother-in-law, my two grandsons. I pray for my side. I pray for our side also. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that everything will be accordingly. I pray this day in the name of Jesus that your will be done and not ours. I want to thank you once again for all that you have done for us this day. We call on you because you're righteous God. You're God and say you are who you say you are. I am God, and besides me, there is none other. Father, we want to thank you for putting yourself in clay, visiting, coming down to mankind. Thank you for everything. We give you the glory in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Hello there, young man. How you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Hunter. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Praise the living God. All is well. You're on the radio station.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. Just go and let the Lord use you. Go ahead.
Amen.
Amen.
First, I want to say good evening to everyone, and it's so good to hear your voice again, Dr. Hunter, as another week has gone by very fast.
Yes, it has.
Hopefully, y'all will get more rain down there than we're getting up here, as I say to you sometimes. I want to say grace and peace to all of our listening audience from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. May the peace of Christ and of God rest upon you as we fellowship this evening with God's
Amen.
Word. Amen. With God's Word. And then
Amen.
We may have ears to hear
Amen.
And the eyes to see and the heart to follow what he has to share with us this evening. I want to open with James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 8. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. Verse 2 says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Amen.
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 I have a brother on my father's side that is getting ready to graduate, and he's had a very long journey from
mm-hmm.
different things, trying to get through school and whatnot, getting ready to come out of college. And, you know, as I reflect on that this chapter of his life is coming to a close, I reflect on, you know, my own self, my own personal experience, that I also at one point, quite a few years ago now, where I pursued my bachelor's degree. And I reflect on the fact that, you know, when you say you want to go to college and you want to go do those things, you know, you're signing up for a war. And you don't realize you're in a war until you get there and you start to experience all the different things that go into trying to finish. You start to realize that if it was just simple as going to class and sitting down and getting it, it would be easy to take. But there's so much more that goes into trying to get into the end and getting that degree. What I realized in my own personal experience went into my bachelor's degree was the simple fact that while getting the degree at the end was the completion of the war, but there were many battles that I had to fight on a daily, monthly, and semestry basis that had to be fought in order to continue to progress towards the prize that I was trying to get to, which is that diploma at the end of that 4 or 5 year period. And so I reflect on that, and I start to begin to think of how parallel that is to our relationship and our walk with Christ, how parallel that is in our daily and the things we go through as we walk with God in our relationship. And so today I would like to talk a little bit about, we've been talking a lot about suffering and trials, and I want to talk a little bit about today perseverance in trial. And it's going to center on these opening scriptures of what James is talking about in chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. And as always, we will take each of the scriptures piece by piece and really just dive into God's word this evening and really see what God is saying to us through his word. So let's go back. Let's take, again, James chapter 1. Let's take verses 2 through 3. 2 through 3. 2 again says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. Now, James tells us to rejoice in our trials. That's what he's telling us. But why? But why should we rejoice in our trials? I mean, because, you know, that's not something that's done a lot in this world. You know, typically when we're going through trials, that you know, our feelings are not exactly the feelings of joy and happiness. But when we get in God's word, the Lord says that we should rejoice in our trials. So we're taking what God is saying, but we're going to ask the question, but why should we rejoice in our trials? And I'm going to propose three answers here, three things that answer the questions why we should rejoice in our trials. Number one, the most important answer, is Jesus overcame the world. That's the number one answer, the reason why we should rejoice in our trials, because Jesus overcame. He already overcame the world. When he tells his disciples in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, 33, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen. Be of good cheer. He says, rejoice, for I have overcome the world. So in other words, through trial, we should focus on who Christ is, and we will have peace. Amen. Number two,
amen.
What is another possible reason why the Lord tells us to rejoice in our trials? Well, because of what trials produce in us when God allows trials to come in our life, because of what it produces in us. Verse 3, that we read earlier, James said, he goes further, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Amen.
Peace.
The testing of your faith produces patience. Amen. But at the same time, I love it, that's not the only thing that our trials produce. I love it how in Romans, Apostle Paul goes even further. Okay? In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. And not
Amen.
Only that, here it comes, and not only that, but we also glory in the tribulation and, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. And perseverance character, and character, hope. Amen. And so there's a lot that God is getting out of us, a lot of things that he is trying to produce in us when he allows trial to be in our life. And so this is another thing with joy, because God is working in our lives. We need to remember that the trial is producing something in it. Number three, okay, what is another reason we should rejoice in our trials? Because through our trials, God is building within us a testimony that will give him glory before others that hear our testimony. Amen. He's building a testimony. Amen. You know, a lot of times people want a testimony, but they forget when you read the whole word testimony, that the first couple letters say test. And without the test, there can be no testimony. Amen. So he's building a testimony. I love it how Peter puts it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, though it is tested, our faith is tested by the fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. He is producing, God is giving us a testimony. He's giving us a testimony. So we have many, these are just some of the reasons, but we have many reasons to rejoice in our trials. Because in all the reasons that come from God's word, we know that God has his hands on us. And God is not a person that does things randomly. He's not a person that just decides to, you know, I'm just going to do this and see what happens. No, God is a sovereign God. He is spirit. He is the creator. And everything he does is with intention. And the same thing goes with the trials that he allows in our life. And so for that fact alone, we realize that if there's trial in our life, God is doing something in our life. And because he is doing that, and we fall in the mighty hands of the mighty God, then we should rejoice and know that he has us in our hands, even though we walk through those trials. So we have many things to rejoice with. James is telling us we should rejoice in our trials, and we just get a few of those reasons why we should rejoice. So let's move on to verse 4, James chapter 1, verse 4. Okay, let's take this one. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Nothing.
So what is God? Amen. Amen. What a powerful word that is. So what is God telling us about the wonderful work of patience and the wonderful work it is? What is God telling us about the wonderful work of patience? Number one, we need to endure. Amen. We need to learn how to endure. Too many times, what happens is we're sitting in the seat of affliction. We're sitting in the seat of trial. And what we begin to do is we start looking around our legs for the escape hatch. For that button we can pull so we can propel ourselves out of that seat and over to safety. And we have a hard time enduring it. And a lot of times because we faint and we don't endure what God is taking us through to strengthen us and whatnot, we miss out on the blessing that's going to come from what he's going to produce in us. So we need to, you know, again, James says, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. And God's trying to complete a work in us. So we need to learn how to endure those trials when they come in our life so that God can complete what he's trying to do in that season in our lives.
Amen.
And that he's working for. And when we stand for what is right, when we're under trial, there is a reward for those of us who endure. We have a reward. There is a blessing. I love it how Galatians puts it. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let's say that one more time because somebody needs to hear that again. Galatians 6 and 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen. And so God is telling us to stay in it. Keep focused on Him. Keep doing those things that endure those trials because He is with us because there's a reward at the end. There's a reward if we don't lose heart. And again, through trial, we need to remember that God is refining our faith. He's refining our faith. Now, I know someone is thinking, let's talk about this word refine. What does refine mean? What does it mean to refine? Okay, well, let me give you a basic definition that you can find anywhere on what the word refine means. Refine means to bring to a pure state, to free from moral imperfections, to improve by pruning and polishing. Amen. We get those action words in there, right? Pruning, improving, pure state, moral imperfections, all these different things. This is what refine means. And so here is the wonderful news that we should be, now knowing the definition of refine, here's the wonderful news for us. So if matter must be refined by fire, and God says our faith in Him is more valuable than gold, oh, how great will the trial of fire be in our life to make us into the shining righteousness of Christ. Oh, how great will those fires be sometimes if God refines our faith, which is more valuable than gold, so that we can be the shining righteousness of His Son. This is what this is all about. So trials play a very important role in our Christian walk. Amen. Let's go on to the last section. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Amen. So we know, since we've been in God long enough, we must have faith during our storms, our trials in life. We must have faith in God. Okay? So let's just talk a little bit. Let's visit together. Let's talk a little bit about what are the things we must do to keep faith under trial of fire. What are some of the things that we must do? Well, I'm going to hit three areas. Number one, we need to know who is the source of our daily provisions that we need to endure struggle in our life. Amen. We need to recognize who is the source of everything we need to endure the trials that God has allowed to come into our life. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times, you know, in the world we have lots of things and people giving advice. We have lots of coping mechanisms that people engage themselves in. You know, we got books, audio cassettes, TV shows, friends, family. Some people cope with books. You know, or they read other books that may impart some wisdom on that. There's lots of good wisdom out there that's not necessarily in the Bible, or there's lots of other ways that people will cope with things. But what you learn is when you're under fire and when you are in a trial of your life that God has brought you in, well, we all begin to discover that none of those things will do. None of those things will do. In other words, nothing is a substitute for God's word and our relationship with Christ. Nothing is a substitute. So we're not saying that these things are bad things. What we're saying is that as we go through these things, when we get into these valleys of our life, okay, when it came off the mountaintop, we're like, now we're in the valley. We're down in the valley of trial and affliction down there. What we have to hold fast to is the truth, and that is Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing that's going to sustain us, keep us, grow us, refine us, so that we will come out the other side victorious in that situation. And so we need to remember there's no substitute for God's word in our relationship with Christ. James puts it best. James chapter 1, verse 17, he says, every good gift And every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of life, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Amen. It's from above. So we need to remember, we need to remember and know who our source of our substance is. We need to remember who is the bread of life, who is the light of the world. And that is what we need to hold to during those trials. Amen. So what is another thing that we should be doing to keep our faith in the trial of the fire? Number two, we need to embrace an expectation that we will have trials. You know, too many times in our Christian world, we have a lot of us, including myself, I've been quite guilty of it myself, where we as believers get surprised when there's a problem. We get surprised when we got a trial or we got some bad thing happening in our life. We get surprised that, oh, it's not supposed to happen. I'm a Christian. But that's not what our word says. That's not what our word says. You know, Peter puts it best. He says in 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fire of trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you." Amen. We need to have an expectation that there's going to be some trials. It's not all life is a trial, but there's going to be some trials in our life that God allows to come in. You know, sometimes we forget, you know, if we get saved and we think everything is going to be just fine. But here's what happens. Once we get saved and then we start saying to ourselves, you know what, I'm not going to just be a Christian by name. I'm not just going to worship God with my lips. But I'm going to not only be a hearer of the word, but I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm also going to apply what I know, and I'm going to walk in his righteousness and try to serve God and whatnot. But guess what the devil did? Number one, he is mad. No, because the devil loves Christians that only serve him by lip service. This is why you don't follow with your heart. You all do it to him. But when you start following with your heart, and that is not just lip service, I'm a Christian by name and title, and you start walking in the word, guess what he made? He's down there stomping his soul. Because he ain't happy. Amen. And so we need to remember that he gets permission at times in our life to come and try us. But remember, he's under the hand of the Almighty God. He must have permission. And so that's what God is used him for. So there's going to be trial. We need to realize in our Christian, sometimes there's going to be trial. Sometimes things ain't going to go right. Even, you know, a lot of times, you know, we hear a lot of times that folks, they feel like they get called to do some sort of thing for God. And so they get out there, they put their hands to the plow, they start working, they go, and all of a sudden, the first time of resistance, they didn't faint, they didn't flame out, and they just can't understand, and they just bail on the situation. And it gets because sometimes we don't realize is that, again, there's going to be trust, especially if we're going to serve God with our whole heart. We're going to love him with our whole heart and walk in the scriptures. Then guess what's going to happen? He's going to be allowed to resist us, to come against us for our testing and our refining. So we have, again, we can embrace a realistic, a heavenly-minded expectation of trial in our Christian walk. Amen. Number three, what are the things we must do to keep faith under fire, under the trial? Focus on who Jesus is in our thoughts. Amen. We must see the cross. We must see what he's done on the cross. We must focus on who he is in our thoughts. We just read earlier, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, where he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you." But listen to what he said in verse 13. He goes and says, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Amen. So again, we need to focus on who Christ is, because what did it say there? It says, "But rejoice to the extent you partake of Christ, that when his glory, not our glory, but when his glory is revealed, then we will have joy." Again, we focus on who Jesus is in our storm. I always love this portion of scripture of Peter walking on the water, and we all know this story many, many times. Amen. And this is, but it's such a powerful lesson, something that God teaches. But I love the account when, you know, Jesus is in the storm, and he's walking on water, and the disciples see him, but Peter then bold and had a faith, he had a faith enough to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out on the water to you. And Jesus put out his hand and said, come. And Peter, with the faith and boldness, took his foot and stepped out on that water and started walking towards Jesus in that storm. And as long as he was focused on Christ, as long as he kept his eyes fixed on who Jesus was in the storm, he did exactly what Jesus was already doing. I kept Jesus' power. But when he began to look down and he began to see the waters of affliction raging at his feet, and he began to look up and he saw seeing the winds of trial blowing all around him, he took his eyes off of Christ in the midst of that storm, and he began to sink. And then Jesus had to grab down, he had to reach down and grab him. And the word from Jesus' mouth was, why did you lack faith? Because it's a faith issue in these storms. See, here's the wonderful thing about this passage. The wonderful thing about it is that the storm was raging when they saw Jesus. As a matter of fact, he was already out there in the storm. He wasn't like sitting on dry land where the sun was on the mountain and the storm was raging without a law and telling Peter, you know, don't get out the water. I can see you from up here. But go and do it. I have faith in you. No, Jesus was already in the storm calling him to be out there where he was already at.
Preaching.
And too many times what we don't realize is the fact that when we have a trial in front of us, we don't think we have enough faith to know we need Christ. So we start looking for him. But if we look closely in that trial, if we look in the heart of that trial, we will see a light. And we'll see Jesus is already in the middle of that trial before he even came to us. And he's simply asking us to come and join him.
My God.
And the trial that he has for us, and he's already in it, he's just asking us to join him. He never puts us in a situation where he is not already at. And so remember, this is what God's word said. So in closing, because I know I'm running out of time here, in closing, I'm going to make three final points. Number one, God tells us to rejoice in our trials, which help us to endure in faith. And why do we endure our seasons of trials? Because we have different seasons. We have seasons of rest. We have seasons of work and labor and trial. And in our life is kind of up and down, depending on what God has ordered for our life. Amen. So why do we endure the seasons of trial? Number one, we have to remember that God has a purpose for our test to perfect us in our faith in him. That's the purpose for it. It's not random. It's not something, you know, the Lord wake up one day and go, dang it, you know, I didn't realize that trial was coming here. No, God knows everything. He knows all things. He's everywhere. There's a reason for that trial. It's a purpose for everything he does. Number two, we need to remember that we learn more about who Christ is in our thoughts. It's good to have those moments, those mountains in our life where we've got to a place in life and been victorious over some past things, and we get rest and peace and all these different things in God and whatnot. But it's usually when we're in the valleys of our life when we cry to God and we begin to know who Christ is more intimate, because we feel the need of to be more dependent on him. In places where our trials seem to be bigger than us, and we recognize it's a God-sized path if we're ever going to make it through. And so we need to remember that we learn more about who God is, who Christ is in our life and our trials. Lastly, we need to remember through our trials, he is producing in us not only patience in our relationship with him, but a testimony so that others may come to know him and that he may be glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, God has been good tonight, and I want to thank God for you tonight for being on the radio, and we thank God for you. So, to glory be to God, to glory be to God. So, Your final words of the night, my brother?
I would just say, number one, thank you, as always, for having me. And I'm as blessed with God's words as everybody else, because that word is also for me. And I just want to say, everybody, continue to go in God, continue to depend on him, and God will be glorified in our lives. And I want to thank you, say I love you, Dr. Hunter, and may God bless you richly with all the work of your hands.
Amen. I love you, and God bless you. And tell everybody hello from me, okay?
I will.
All right. Hello, Apostle.
Hey, Apostle, what's going on?
Oh, man, God is so good. His mercy endures forever.
Hey, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He is good.
He is good. All I can say to you is, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's all I can say is hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's worthy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's worthy,
amen.
Dr. Hunter.
Sir?
He's worthy.
Oh, he's worthy. He's, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. He's so worthy.
Hey, I got some good news for you.
From the rising of the sun to the setting of it, he's still. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I got some good news for you.
All right.
I got some good news for you.
Okay.
Your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
That's good news. That's good news.
It's not in vain. Not in vain. He's going to pay you for what you've been doing.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I just know that God has promised to all of us who will trust and believe in him. If we can trust and believe in him, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
He's going to do it.
1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So just continue to be steadfast. Be unmovable. You know, the devil comes and tries to shake us up sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, he tries to make us think that what we're doing is worthless.
We're not
doing anything. Yeah, he tried to make us feel like what we're doing is not a mountain to anything. It's not a mountain to a hill of beans. But God says, God says, Yahweh says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
It's not in vain. My. Well, that's
not in vain.
Not in vain.
It's not in vain. That means he's going to pay you. He's going to pay you, Dr. Hunter. He's going to pay you for what you're doing. You know what? God is a God. He knows what we deal with. He knows what we're going through as we're serving him. He knows the ups and downs of ministry. He knows the ups and downs of living, period. And so that's why he gave us that scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, be unmovable, be steadfast. And then he wants to encourage you, your labor is not in vain. I'm going to pay you. So he's telling you to be encouraged. Over in Hebrews 11:6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, you must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder to them that diligently seek him. You're putting forth constant effort. Amen. He's going to bless you, Dr. Hunter.
I believe it. Likewise, my brother, I believe it, because there's so much for us to do. Our journeys have just begun. Our journeys have just begun. Our testimonies have just begun. What God is doing to all of us, and I say to you, because what God can elevate you to is such a position of authority that he's given to you, because you have that understanding that where we're to do that kind, to teach it. I said the other day, I said, Lord, I said, I like to let Brother teach that Hebrew. I'm going to see if I can help him get a real class set up so people can come to understand and they can come out of this dog drum that they in, you know.
Glory to God. Glory to
Amen.
God.
And
Amen.
My prayers are, see, because the Apostle Paul and all of them work together, even though they have some differences, and one thing I'll say, if you keep pressing in, God will
mm-hmm.
separate us. But as long as we do what God says, and when the time came, God said, separate me from, because he had to go to the desert. He went to the desert and look what he did. He said, yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah. On the backside of the desert, God taught him, discipled him.
Yes.
And Paul had an encounter with God on the backside of the Arabian desert. Amen. He had an encounter with God.
What a counting God.
Had an encounter with God.
He mm-hmm. did. And you see, one of the things I say, I know that what God is doing, and see, I know that some more things that God is doing. My brother, all I can say to you today is, every day it's a constant walk of faith.
Constantly.
Day by day, night by night. It's a constant walk.
Yes, sir.
And every so often, see, the devil tried to come up and challenge me. He tried to challenge me this morning to one of my own people.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at him and I said, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, you get out of here.
Yes.
And they got out.
Yes.
Somebody says, he going crazy now? No, he ain't going crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I love God because I know what God's going to do. See,
amen.
See, when he and you helps to give me some backbone, knowing your spirit, because I've tried it for the whole time we was going to sit there and I prayed. I said, Lord, so you can use this man. Y'all can do work together. And here we are doing work together.
Glory to
Glory
God.
To
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's been a while now, too. It's been a while, too, hasn't it, Apostle? It's been a while.
It's been a while. I mean, when we look back and look at this yesterday, but it was T-I-M-E on what we saw, but we just said, man, just look at it was yesterday. But it was yesterday in God's eyesight, but God has a great word for
glory to God. Glory to God. We just gotta continue to use our faith. Make plans according to our faith, not how things look.
That's what I'm saying. See, and I was talking to someone. I met a lady that I met years ago, and even a 5250 ministry, and her name is Sammy, and she began to tell me. She says, and I told her what I am, who I am. She said, "What the hell are you?" I said, you downtown with that, where you feed the homeless. Man, this woman got such a big ministry. She says, God told me to hook you up with me, and we can get together. I said, well, I'm going to have to hook everybody I know up with you. She says, okay with me.
Glory to
God.
See,
I'm 365 days a week. Every Friday, she's feeding the homeless. She's
Amen.
Feeding the homeless. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Her testimony, I mean, sit back, I rock. I said, what? She said, yeah, honey. She said, remember how you used to have this and have that? She was a multimillionaire.
Glory to God.
But she had to lose it all to find what this woman. And she said, no matter what nobody say, King Timmy, my God ain't real.
He's real. He's real.
And got ministers and stuff. I mean, she sent me a place. She sent me everything. And I said, good God Almighty. She said, that's why God have us at this particular time. See, God put us all together for a reason.
That's right.
See, when God gives you this big church you're finna lay on you, it's for a reason. It's not to be for us to glorify, but to give God the praise and to glorify what he's doing and to see.
Glory
because
to
we
God.
Just see, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, it all return. But while we are here, Lord, we want to do what you call us to do, and that's what it's all about. Somebody said, well, what about, don't you want to? I said, no. I said, as long as I know you got something, I feel comfortable and praising God.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. See, and the whole thing I know is because when a man loves his wife, a man can be trusted.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I know you love your wife. I know you.
Oh
jealous.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I
do.
You ain't got to fool me. Keep it close to you. I said, look at that. I said, oh, look at old brother man. But that's what God wants. He wants to let the world. He wants us to let the world know we are God's examples.
Yes.
What Jesus paid for us. What
Amen.
Jesus paid for us. Amen. And see,
Amen.
One thing I can say. And I, like I said, after I prayed about it and I make a confession, I know I wanted to have a board, and the board just didn't work right. But I wasn't listening to God. I was thinking about, okay, we can do this. And it kept, and the Lord just said, you're doing it again. I said, okay, Lord, let's stop. So I don't have a board. I say, everybody, come on, the radio station ain't no charge. Whatever God say you give to this radio station, it's according to what God will say. Because that's how God. He brought me back. And he brought me back and said, you got to do
yes.
it. Man, I'm getting more people come on radio now. Good God Almighty.
Glory to God.
See, everybody is looking for a place to go where they can have a cool drink of water.
Yes.
A good understanding. And that's all God is saying. And when God
yes.
showed it to me, I said, Lord, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I want to thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Yahweh.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
See, and the more that I come in tune, I'm supposed to have a big meeting with some people, supposed to be. But you know what the Lord told me? He said, they're not ready. They're not ready for what you're doing. See, there's some people, apostles, that are not ready for what you're doing.
Yes, I hear what you're saying.
You know, they're not ready.
Yes, sir.
And this last thing said, well, I'm going to go out and say, no, you got to ask God to send you there. Because when
yes.
you get sent, you're sent for a reason.
That's right. That's right.
And when you get
That's
there,
right.
you get it. Okay, what are they doing? Okay, they got number one, number two, number three. Well, okay, do it. It ain't going to kill you. It'll help you.
Yes, yes.
But the more,
yes.
see, God has answered our prayer. That old man yesterday that was on the television talking about his grandson that got killed, he said, but the earth, the blood cries out. He went back to the Old Testament and said,
yes.
your brother's blood is crying out. What happened? Am I my brother's keeper? He wouldn't charge the police or nothing. But God's going to get there within 24 hours.
Yes.
They had another person that says he got it on the recording. Pow, 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 pow. Pow, pow, pow. And they compare it. And they said, and see, all in America, and if I sound like I'm preaching, forgive me, brother, but pray for me.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. Amen.
See, and I say to the people, the reason why so much is happening is because we who stand, we got to stand firm. We got to pray
That's
for
right.
those who are trying to find their way out. And
yes.
and that was the old man. He just kept telling him what the Lord's going to do. And within 24 hours, they
yes.
found a man. And the Lord said, they ain't seen nothing yet because we got to bring America to the knees to repent.
Oh,
got
yeah.
to bring it to the knees.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You
they
got,
go-
and I'm
Sir? America, and anyone else who's made themselves a god or placed anything from before God, gotta repent. Because hey, one thing I know, one thing I know about our God, I'm talking about Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac,
Yahweh,
and Jacob.
Yahweh Elohim.
He is a jealous God.
Better know
he
it.
Is a jealous God, and he said he'll have no other God before before him.
No other God before him.
No other God. And people, a lot of people have gotten besides themselves, and they're acting like they're God. They can do what they want to do. They can, you know, but no. I tell you, God will tear up some stuff.
Better know it. And see, like I told somebody, I said, look what God is doing. And now they're going to come out, somebody has recorded it. But they're afraid to bring it forward because the police in America, the demons are taking charge, and some of us are in power. And like I tell a person that he has no sin, let me tell you something. I said, I'm not a politician, but I know what politicians do. They play with the left and the right. Whatever's good for them, that's what they want. And no, I don't play that game. I'm a what Jesus, do you want righteous? Yes. Well, righteous is going to... It's going to cost me something not to be like them.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And I keep saying, the only reason why that God is because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And a person was saying one day, says, well, God got me. I said, let me ask you a question, brother. I say, tell me how God got you. What you mean? I said, have you been born again? Well, I said, who was it? He said, I came to Jesus. I said, okay, so far, so good. I said, let me ask you something. I said, now, the scripture says, not me, the scripture says, and Jesus stayed with those men for 3 long years to teach them.
That's right.
To teach them wherewithal about God. So just think, he's with the master. And we have the Holy Spirit who will teach and lead us into all that God have us
all truth. That's right.
All truth. And see, one thing I'll tell the prisoners, the reason why God had the devil to shut his mouth up and say, be silent. The devil say, I know who you are. You are the Most High. You are the Most High. God says, silence. In other words, you can't tell what's happening right now because it ain't time. So he had to quiet those demons in order so they could be released at the right time. I said, good God Almighty.
I tell you, he's a mighty God. He's a mighty God.
He's a mighty God. I'm saying to you, some people you know that I've known that don't know off the real estate, tell them the door is wide open. The door is wide open. The door is wide open. Why is it? Because God is, and I'm obeying God. I'm watching what God is doing. So all I can say to you, apostle, to pastor, is that God is using you.
Glory to God.
I'm letting it so
far. Glory to God.
He's using you. He's not using your attributes. He's using you because of faith you have in God.
Glory to God.
When I hear testimony how a man lived at the church, saw the water coming down, but kept on praying.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Glory to
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's nobody. Yahweh. That's Yahweh. That's him.
You got a good memory.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
You got a great memory. That's right. Oh, yeah. We lived at that church 10 years. And I tell you,
10 years.
Before we got a new roof on there, it was during that hurricane, one of those big hurricanes, and rain was just coming in all in the church. And me and my wife and children, we were putting buckets in different places. And I tell you, but Yahweh, he has brought us a mighty long ways.
And see, whole thing, I know it. And now I just say it like this. You got an apartment. I said it like that, okay. You got an apartment. But God. See, the one thing I would say to everybody that's listening to us, and if they can see, some people want to come on They got a game, but it ain't God's game.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen.
And I can't let somebody put you down. I said, no, I can't do that. Well, I said, no, I don't believe in that. I said, I know this man. I know what this man done went through. I have observed this man.
Yeah.
At a distance, he didn't even know it. But God said, bring him and say, you're going to work with him. And I said, okay,
Lord,
and here now we go. All I can say is we're working it.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Like, they said, well, why are you telling us off? So you who are ashamed of nothing but the truth, I want you to know one thing. If you respond to Jesus Christ,
yes,
you have the greatest in this life. And Jesus said, I ain't going to withhold nothing from you. But it's one thing you got to do. You got to come to the Father.
Come to him. That's right.
If you can't
Amen.
Come to the Father through by me, you can't get to see him.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Can't get to see him.
Can't get to see him unless you come through Yeshua.
You can't get in. Yeshua HaMashiach.
You got to come through him.
Got to come through
Amen.
Him. And see, I'm even looking for women that can come on, and women, they might have a preaching ministry, they may have a help ministry. They want to have a prayer, but I'm giving time. It's open. I open it up. And I say, I want to see God's ready. And I want you to stay. If the Lord stay here with us, we're going to see some things happen, my brother.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're going to. Yes, sir. But, you know, Apostle Hunter, we're going to see some great things happen because we have the right perception. Those who have the wrong perception, and that word perception or to perceive, in Hebrew is yada.
Uh-huh.
I know that there's a praise the Lord that's yada, but this yada is perception, or it means to perceive, and we're going to get to see God do great things as long as we keep the right perception. The right perception. We got to have the right perception to see what God has for us, to move to that next level of living, to move to that next level of ministry. We have to have the right perception. Over in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33, there were a lot of people who didn't get to go over into the promised land.
Oh, no.
And the reason they didn't get to go over into the promised land is because they had the wrong perception. Over in Numbers chapter 13:33, the scripture says, and there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which come up of the giants. And we were in our own sight, as grasshoppers. So we were in our sight. You see, the only people, God had Moses send out 12 spies to go out and spy out the promised land. 12 spies. And out of those 12 spies, only two came back with a positive report. They said the land over there is a good land. That was Caleb and Joshua. They said, the land over there, it's a good land. Oh, it's a wonderful land, and if God be with us, we can possess that land. You see, they had the right perception. But those other 10 spies, Dr. Hunter, they said, we can't take that land. It's giants over in the land, and we're in our own sights look like grasshoppers. You see, they had the wrong perception. And don't you know, Dr. Hunter, those 10 spies did not get to go into the promised land. They died in the wilderness.
They didn't because, like you said, they had the wrong perception. And they thought that they could have God do what they want. And God said, it don't work like that. You're on the wrong end of the stick. I got the club in my hand. But then, you know what? As she was teaching, I remember when I read Caleb. He was 85 years old.
85 years old.
85 years old. And when you
come on now,
you research and you study. He said, I'm as strong as I was then. He said, give me this mountain.
Come on now, right perception. Give it to me.
He's 85.
Give it to me.
And people said, well, 85? No, that's still young. He said, give me this mountain.
He has the right perception.
I like that.
Yes. He liked that.
I liked it. And see, one of the things I keep saying that we're going to find a lot of things going in Houston. We got to pray for the pastor who want to come closer to the Lord, because we are apostles. We are apostles,
yes.
And we know what God would have us to do. And we're pastors.
Yes.
And we know what God have us to do. We just got to pray for them. And say, brother,
yes,
you got to get a new conception. You got to get a new perception. You got to
That's
say,
right,
God can do anything, because they putting it out in the word right now. All these big churches are going to lose all their members. And I'm saying, that's what a lie from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie. If
mm-hmm.
we who know, you and I know, we know how to get the devil, no, back up. And I like to, in a counter, I always say to somebody, I always like to take Muhammad Ali's fight. He asked that boy, what's my name? Pow, pow, pow. What's my name? Pow, pow, pow.
Yeah.
So, we got to whoop the devil. What's my name? Amen.
Whoop the devil. Whoop him.
Whoop the devil.
That's right.
And we whoop the devil by submitting, committing, and relying on God. Because
there is
no God. See, and all I can say is I've come to understand, my brother. I've come to understand. I know you saying when the enemy attacked you, said if it took time, but you decide one time you can run, now you can run, but there was a time you couldn't walk. Well, look at you now. I said, look at that testimony. I said, good Lord Almighty.
Glory to God.
Glory
to God. Almighty. Glory. Hallelujah.
If we were time, and one thing I love about my wife has a book that she has. It's called what's the name of it, baby? There's a book she has about your driven purpose life. And I got the book on Battlefield.
Purpose-driven life?
Yes. And we, two of us sit down every so often, we talk out of it and find out how we can help ourselves get better. But let me tell you something. The battlefield of the mind, brother, that's where it all starts.
Yes, sir.
In the mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. When you change your mind, you change your life.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
The scripture says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want to change your life, you got to change your mind.
I know it. And we live in a day and time, Apostle, Pastor, we live in a day and time where there are a lot of people who want to come. And I tell folks, I tell them how to get to your church. I said, I can't make you go to that church, but that's a good church.
Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Bless you.
I ain't got time to say the doctrine is God's doctrine. It's through Jesus Christ. I said, that's the doctrine you want to learn. Jesus said there are many mysteries that we don't understand, but we understand them.
Yes,
we get to heaven. And Paul said, he said, the words I have received were not of man, not given to me by man, but it by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
And when I sit down, I see, you know, the Apostle Paul had to be where God wanted him. See, because they told me when I was along in school, at the church school, they said, well, when Paul said he got a thorn in his flesh, he probably was a homosexual. He probably had. I said, no.
No way.
I don't receive that. And everybody called me. No way. I found out in my study it was an enemy named Lucifer. It was
harassing.
An angel assigned to him.
Harassing him.
And he, yes, sir.
That's right.
And everywhere but, Paul went.
It says right there, you're right, Dr. Hunter. It says right there in the scripture what the thorn in the flesh was. He said it was a messenger from Satan was buffeting him.
Buffeting
was harassing him. Everywhere he went to try to preach the word and teach the word, there was that hindering, that harassing devil.
He would. But, man, the more you get the word and you see what God is doing in this hour and what Paul has written and what Paul is saying, stuff is gravitating right now in our lives. And God has raised up his giants. His giants.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And as I read the Bible in Hebrew, hallelujah. And he said, God did not subject everything to an angel, but he made it just, who is man that thou art mindful of him, just a little bit lower than an angel, and crown him? I said, that's the kind of God we serve.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
And that angel right there, Dr. Hunter, he said, we've been made a little bit lower than the angels. That angel right there in Hebrew, it's Elohim. Elohim.
Elohim.
And so
Elohim.
That scripture is saying that we have been made a little lower than God.
Yes.
We have
and
been
we
made
have
a little lower than Elohim. Because
Elohim.
The scripture
Elohim.
Tells us, yes, sir, because the scripture tells us, I believe over in Hebrews, that the angels are our ministering spirits.
That's who they are. That's who they are.
They can minister to us.
They minister to us.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
They minister
and
to
see,
us.
See, the one thing that I love it, I know if you and I get to talk, we start pulling out the, in other words, oh, we open the vault up.
Yes, sir.
We open the vault up and just let it flow out.
Yes, sir.
Some people, sometimes the vault gets so open, folks say, I don't know if I can take all this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can. All you got to do is get your mind made up on Jesus, see? And see, one thing that I just say, three things I found out, four things, ignorance, fear, doctrinal difference, and sin can keep you from receiving the Holy Spirit. That's why some people have not got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They have not accepted Jesus. They're ignorant. They have ignorance.
Yes, sir.
If Dr. Newsom lay hands on, maybe I don't want that. I don't want that right now. Well, what? No, wait a minute. If you don't want to get out there, let me get under. Let it flow on me.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
Let it flow.
Glory to God.
See, Dr.
Hunter.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Hunter, that scripture is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. And it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's us.
That's us.
So the angels are ministering spirits to us.
To us.
To us.
And we said, and I told the person,
so we're over the angels.
We owe them.
We're
and
over the angels. We have been made a little lower than Elohim, than God, than Yahweh. We have been made a little lower than him. And so we are over angels.
We are. We're over them. And I know that we keep trying to, I'm learning a lot that I know I need to do. And see, when people want to know more about it. See, they was arguing on a radio station on the FM, AM, and they says, well, a lot of the preachers, all they want to do is preach prosperity. I said, well, your message must be mixed because you got to sit at the table, you got to get some milk, you got to get some different things that come into the existence. But when speaking spiritually, we're speaking spiritually. You must be attuned to what God is saying. And see, God Womack, and I was just listening to the men of the day. I said, this man got the real word of God. So I'm reaching out to see more, do more, because I know what God's getting ready, God is doing. I put it in context. Because what God says, it's a laid plan already. It's already been laid, but it's got to be perfected through us.
Yes, sir.
And the more
yes,
of us we stand, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And we got help. Thank God we don't have to try to do everything by ourselves. We got ministering angels. They going to help us. Just like they helped Paul. I mean, some of those apostles, they got put into prison, and God sent angels to get them out.
And now
who was that apostle? They were praying for one apostle, and while they were praying for him to get loose, get out of prison and all, he was knocking at the door. And the girl went to the door, and she ran. She left him at the door. He was already out. God sent angels to get him out of prison.
That's what God does. And Rhoda said, he said, not possible, not possible. That's not Paul. That's not Peter. Not possible.
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of God we serve.
That's the type of God we serve.
Amen. And y'all, I say.
He got an angel working on your behalf, already been dispatched to help you out, Dr. Hunter. Already been dispatched
Amen.
To help you out. I tell you.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, we got the Bible says the angel of the Lord is encamped around about those who love him.
And love him. And I love him. I love him. And see, I know
Amen. This
is the city we live in. And the more I know, I don't try to bring too much in the world, but sometimes you have to do as the Apostle Paul said. He come that way, he asked the man, he said, brother, he said, since you believe, have you received? And they showed ignorance. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. Did Paul said, now, who are you talking about? We ain't heard about no Jesus Christ dying, rose from the dead. He's ascended on high, sits on the right. We ain't heard nothing about that. Why are you coming? John was our teacher, and we got his teaching. They said, well, there's a better teaching, and a lot of people said, well, they teach too deep. Words are not too deep. It's the penetration of the gospel of Jesus Christ that opens up us to receive the fullness of God in His word. And see, I went to go back and read the scripture. Jesus said, let this mind that was in you, let the mind that was in you be in Christ. What mind did Christ have? A mind to see himself as equal with God, a mind to see himself as doing what God wants. And if we have the same mind, we can do what God say, because it's given us the power to create, given us the power to lay hands on people and to get healed, blind his eyes open. And we have that authority.
Yes, amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And see, I know that. And I told a person one day, and I say this, and I just say it like this. I was a man that I walked with for 20-some years. One day he had a great revival in the city of Houston. And a man gave his life to Jesus Christ. Had a big duffel bag, and he gave it. He said, this is for him. And everybody jumped on me and said, why didn't you open it up? I said, because it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me. When God gives you something to give me, likewise out of you, it's for me, it was you for you. See, as my mother used to say, one piece of bread for you, one piece of bread for them, one piece of bread for me. And so what's for me is for me.
Yes, sir. Yes.
If it's for you, it's for you. Ain't nobody going to take
right.
it from us.
That's right.
Ain't nobody
yes,
going to take it from
us. That's right.
We can be
Amen.
A liar, a thief, and we just going to give God the glory, and we're going to give God the understanding. And I want you to know, real soon, Brother Price, he's going to, because he's going back to school. And we're going to find somebody that has the same attitude you have to be on a Tuesday night.
Oh, glory to God.
Yeah, I want a man or woman that's got some vitality in the Word of God. I'm looking for the people who want to do more. Ain't got no money, but you got a vision.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. And we just want to believe, touch and agree that God can do anything and everything God has promised us. And if we just keep believing what he said, he can do it. And I just say one of the things that we just keep ourselves in tune, by tune, and hear what God wants to do in the hour we live in right now. See, because right now, this world is in a bad shape.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. They have left the only true living God.
They said that's the real issue. That's the real issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real issue. When you have forsaken God.
That's it.
When we read Jeremiah 29, it says God say. He said, I know the thoughts I have for you, Willie Hunter. They're not evil, but they're full of goodness to bring you a great, better end. Hallelujah.
That's it. That's hallelujah. That's good news.
Amen.
Man, I'm about to run around this house. Good God Almighty. Amen. Already, I walked a while as it is, man. Now I'm about to start running. He got good things for us.
But God is able. See, and a lot of times you put some depend on people that you can say, well, do this and do this. And some people can, but some people got their minds all caught up in the wrong thing. And so what I try to do here, that's why I just keep pressing on in. If they're ready to get, if they're not good, if they are good. And see, I know you know about the program that's going to be on the Thursday and the Friday.
The 28th and 29th?
Yes, so that lady's coming in. And I've been talking with her, and she's coming in with a word.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
I want to be there on the 28th or the 29th. I want to be there on one of those nights. She's bringing the word both nights?
Both nights.
I want to be there.
Remember me telling you about that night that lady called me in the month of February and that she was perusing with the Facebook and said, I'm looking for a man of God. Are you that man? And that's when I said, yes, I am. What can I do for you? And she began to tell me what her situation was. And I listened, I prayed, and I've been telling everybody, that's the one I stayed in for a whole week in prayer until she got back to New Jersey. Well, as I put in the station, I kept praying, asking God. God said, right on. And come to find out, woman know the word. Come to find out one word for your nation. I said, look at God. Look at God. It was amazing. Look at God.
Amen.
Look at God.
Wow. That's something great.
And she said, all I have, she said, no, this ain't about me, it's about Jesus.
Yes.
I said, get out of the city. Whoa. And she said, the reason why a lot of, and she said, I love the men, but I have to talk to my people men. She said, my people men got their mind on the FLESA and not the LOVE. I said, get out of the city. Woo. And And God inspired me. I said, but Lord, he said, bring her. And God gave necessary to do what needed to be done. So I praise God. And I thank God.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
I want to thank you, Apostle, Pastor. I want to thank you. And you keep praying. And if you have somebody, tell them to send me an email. And we'll look at it and we'll pray about it. Because I'm not trying to press this radio station because it's already God, and God has me here. And everybody I find on Blog Talk Radio, they're talking a bunch of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got time for nonsense. I have time for nonsense. See,
we must be about our Father's business.
That's it, about the Father's business. And that's why we find the scripture. and those men. And one thing I'll say in this, when we read the scripture and we find five wise and five foolish, that's where we
that's
are
right.
right now.
Come on now.
Somebody wanna come to your church. We want you to give up some of your Holy Ghost. No, no, you gotta stay in praise, get your Holy Ghost for yourself.
Yeah.
And once you get the Holy Ghost, gonna teach you. He's gonna teach you what God have you learn. And a lot of people are afraid of the Holy Ghost, apostle, pastor. They are afraid.
Yeah.
They are afraid. And it's so beautiful
mm-hmm.
to receive. You get so clean. You get so
mm-hmm.
holy. You begin to see. And you say, well, and I always tell people, once you get the Holy Spirit, don't think you're better than anybody else.
That's right. That's right.
You don't. You
That's
try
right.
to win. I'm trying to win more people into the kingdom. That's,
That's
all
it.
I'm trying to do. They said,
That's
you know,
it.
You look at I said, whatever God's going to give me, going to give me. But right now, I have to be obedient to what God wants done. Amen.
That's it. Amen.
I say amen. You got some more words to spit out to the people? Because you got on fire tonight, man.
Well, I just like to say, you know, encourage everyone to trust in the Lord with all your heart and
amen.
Lean not on your own understanding. Amen. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he
amen.
Will direct your path. Put your confidence,
yes,
that word trust is batark. Put your confidence in him. Batark. That's the Hebrew word
batark.
For trust. And it batark. Batark.
Batark.
Batark.
Batark.
And it means batark. And it means to put your confidence in. He wants us so much to put our confidence in him. Put our confidence in him. We need to trust. We need to trust in his word. Trust in the integrity
amen.
Of his word. We need to
amen.
We need to know that his word is not going to let us down. It's not going to let you down.
No.
You've been
no.
spending all those hours in the word of God, and you've made up your mind, I'm going to believe this word and I'm going to stand on it. That's a good thing. You keep that. Keep your
That's
confidence,
it.
your batach. In his
it
word.
Yes.
Put it in his word.
Amen.
Put it in his word. His word can be trusted.
Yes.
It's incorruptible. His word is incorruptible.
Incorruptible.
It's incorruptible. It's sound. It's honest.
Amen.
He ain't jiving us, Doctor. He ain't jiving us. He's not pulling our legs. His word
no.
is incorruptible, and that word incorrupt, it means sound and whole. His word
yes.
is sound and whole, and it also means that it won't decay. And it won't lose any power.
It won't. That's what I love about it. It won't lose its power.
It won't lose
know,
its power.
It won't lose its power. It won't.
No, sir.
That's what the old lady said. She said, and the old lady was saying, she said, the reason why I say that when I raise my hand, she said, y'all just don't know it. She said, but I see, because he never lost the fine power. Never lost. She's 87 odd years old and still giving
yes.
God the glory.
Amen.
Look at God. Amen.
Look at God.
So,
amen.
Look at God, right? Amen. So have anything else to say? If not, you want to close out with a prayer?
Okay. Father, Yahweh, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we thank you. We adore you. You are everything. You are everything, Father. You are everything. And we want to thank you for being merciful toward us, for the times we've fallen, we've messed up, we've made mistakes. We want to thank you for being merciful toward us and still care for us and still use us to be a witness for you. We just thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you. You're so kind to us, Father. Yahweh, you're so kind to us, and we're grateful. And we're grateful. Thank you so very much. And Father, I just want to say thank you for Apostle Hunter. Thank you for him, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for letting me be part of his life, Father God. I'm honored, Father God. I'm grateful. He's a great man of God. I thank you for what you're doing in his life. I thank you, Father. And, Father, I pray that you meet every one of his needs, Father. And I pray, Father God, that you extend his life to 120 years, Father. Father, I pray that you bless his wife, Father, with divine health. And Father God, let them live as long as they want to stay alive, Father. And Father, meet every need spiritually, physically, and financially, and socially, Father. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, put great people around him, people that will celebrate him and not tolerate him, people that will build him up and not tear him down. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, Father God, use him as a signet ring. Use him as a signet ring. Make him your poster boy, your poster child.
Yes.
In the name of Yeshua, Father God, bless him, Lord. Bless them. Give them a fresh anointing, Father. Give
fresh
them a
anointing.
Fresh anointing.
Fresh
and
anointing.
I thank you, Father. And, Father God, just give great success. Cause all the work of his hands to prosper in the name of Yeshua. And I thank you, Father. And I call it done in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And we say this because it's been a great night. God has blessed us. And I always put on my tapes that I put the ones on. I just like to put these on because they have opened me up to understanding. And the more I listen, the more on the radio. See, sometimes you can just listen and hear some things, and it always bless you. And this particular man is a great man of God. He's going to be with the Lord, but he left some things on the record. He talks about healing and what God can do. And I thank God for the pastor, the apostle that came on tonight. And we know that there's great work to do. And I just want to say to everybody, we love you and we're looking forward to meeting you face to face, if not in this hour, in the hour that is yet to come. May our Lord bless you and may he keep you in Jesus. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach is our prayer. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. He's the only, the true and living God. And for this we say, Yahweh Elohim Alahuka. In the name of Jesus is our prayer. And we thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. So until the next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. It's all we're going to listen to it for the present time. Amen.
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 Good night.
D63H03. Healing Scriptures.
I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. 21 and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said. So it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8, 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3, 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7, 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15, 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter, the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58, 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103:3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely it bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he hath borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13-14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians 1:12-14, and then chapter 2:10-15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus 20:12, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. First Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5, 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90, 10. The days of our years are 80, that by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying he had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft-times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and talked. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse, and he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they went virtue out of him and healed them all. Then in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue of Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 10. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. Send them into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things or beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now notice that. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to Jerusalem. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, and now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19 through 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or the margin reads, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Joel chapter 3, verse 10, let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, reading the entire chapter, and then Galatians chapter 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he is sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee over and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursed, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out on the field, shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall hit up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother, and towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children which he shall leave. So that he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which I was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to be. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, and at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now then, I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse and reading the whole chapter. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched ye that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serving the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. There are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore, you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is a curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now name your sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify his sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration. We'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. Say this then, my sickness or ulcer, stomach, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You see, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from blood disease. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it a curse of the law. Confess it's a curse of the law. Then confess Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again, and then at every waking moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession, therefore I am redeemed from, and specify your sickness.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.
Anymore.